Studies in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be going back there this morning. I think this is the third in this series. The Lord told me get into 1 Timothy chapter 1, so I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be there until he tells me to get out and get on something else. Amen? I found out this is just so, he just opened up so many things here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading in the New King James Version. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. We've spent some time on our hope. It's one of the things God does. He gives us hope when we put our trust in Him. Amen. To Timothy, a true son in the faith, we spent some time on grace, mercy, and peace this last time. And we know that grace, mercy, and peace, and we understand more about that, hopefully, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may change some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edifying which is in faith. I'm going to spend some time on this third and fourth verse, and I may get on to another verse, but right now I want to spend some time on the third verse. One of the problems that Jesus had in his day, and we still have in this day, is that there were scribes and Pharisees and other religious groups that were on the earth when Jesus came, and there were a lot of doctrines. Doctrines meaning, in this particular case, religious teachings. How many of you realize today we have Mormonism and Catholicism and different churches and denominationisms, and I don't need to go on. There's just, you can go to 100 different places the basic gospel seems to be the same in most places. Some places it's not. And that is that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, and He is our Savior. If we receive Him as our Lord and Savior and confess with our mouth that He's our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Scriptures say in Romans 10, we'll be saved. Amen? But in some places, that's not the case. The doctrine is different. They go beyond that, and you have to keep the Ten Commandments. You have to have special gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have to attend the church. You have to belong to the church. You have to be baptized. And there's some doctrines that get into the fact that you have to be baptized by water in some particular churches or whatever. You have to be sprinkled or you can't be saved. Are you listening to me? And Paul was, and Timothy were having some same issues in their days, as most any pastor has in these days in which we're living now, because the situation has not only the same, but has grown even more complex and more complicated. And I believe, like the Lord Jesus believed, that, and like the Word tells us, that salvation, well, for God, it was a very difficult thing because it cost Him His precious Son. For Jesus, it was horrible because He had to go through such a horrible death and agony to save us from our sins. But the Bible says that that's so simple that even a little child can understand it. You with me? Now, we can get into religious doctrine and religious theology and all kinds of things, but it gets to be a problem. So we're going to try to simplify that God's grace, mercy, and peace that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ when we call upon Him, that we don't have any other doctrine other than that. We do have some teachings in the Christian doctrine. And basically, those teachings are not to confuse us, but to those of us who are children of God, they're doctrines that help us. There are doctrines, and we need to believe those biblical doctrines, but all the doctrines that are given as far as the truth is concerned, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, those doctrines are given to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us with our understanding and know who we are in Christ and know how to talk to God and how we can get our prayers answered. But the main thing is to know who we are, that we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. One of the doctrines, and he gets into genealogies here, because he says that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables. Fables are things that are just make-believe kind of things that men have made up and invented. And endless genealogies has to do with a lot of things that people get a hold of, or ministers or teachers or religious teachings and doctrines that become false because they teach you that you have to be of this genealogy. Genealogy meaning your birth and your background and your family history. And I've met over the years some people that have attended my church that believe that because their mom and dad were Christians, they're Christians. Amen? And I believe I've run into some that believe because they all they had to do was go join a church and be baptized, and they were Christians. As far as living any better or doing any different, or getting into the Word of God, or knowing anything about spiritual gifts and being filled with the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit of God bear witness with their spirit, most of them don't have any of that because they've believed a lie. They've believed a false doctrine. That's why doctrine is so important. And that's why the Bible instructs us to study the Word of God, that we may approve ourselves unto God. That's why the Bible is so important, and daily Bible reading is important, and drawing close to the Lord is important, because we need to know what the Word of God says. I'm not saying we're going to understand all of it, but we need to understand those parts that God wants us to understand so we can be what God wants us to be, and we can enjoy the fullness of the blessings of God in our lives that He wants us to enjoy. The Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." If we don't spend time with Him and we don't have the joy of the Lord, then we're going to have a very difficult time if we are Christians, but we're not supposed to be baby Christians for the rest of our life because we're in spiritual warfare and in a spiritual battle, and the enemy attacks us and our minds tries to get us to doubt who we are in Christ, to doubt our salvation, to get into all kinds of circumstances and situations. That's the reason why we need the Holy Spirit to open up the Word of God to us, and we get into the Word of God so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we grow in the grace, that is in the love, see, when I first was saved, I didn't know much about God. I just knew that God loved me, and He answered my prayer, and somehow He saved me. Amen. I didn't understand what salvation meant. And I certainly didn't love God with all of my heart, because I didn't even really know what love was. And the Bible tells us that the kind of love that we're supposed to have is the love of God, and God even loved His enemies. And I certainly didn't love my enemies. Are you with me? Now, as I grew, and as we grow in the love, grace is love, as we grow in the love and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then we learn to love God more. The Bible teaches us in 1 John, herein is love. If you want to know what love is, the Bible tells us in 1 John, I think it's chapter 4, herein is love. Not that we love God. Are you with me? Herein lies love. Here is where we receive love. Here is where we get love. This is how we have love, so that we can love one another and be obedient and love God and keep His commandments and do the things that He wants us to do. And His commandments are not just the law of the Ten Commandments. His commandments are His Word. We live by His Word. Amen? So when we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you see, He wants us to be blessed. How many of you? The first blessing comes to know that I'm saved. Amen? Then there's many other blessings. Amen? How many of you, God's blessed you? Well, every hand should be up. He has. You have a heartbeat. You have a breath. You have life. You have a job. You have finances. You have a husband. You have a wife. You have children. My goodness gracious alive. There's so many kinds of blessings that if we don't understand the right kind of doctrine, then we really won't understand the fullness of God's blessings. Amen? And it's not based on different other kinds of doctrines. It's just based on the doctrines that God has given us in His Word and reveals to us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And we certainly don't want to, the reason they don't, Paul didn't want Timothy to be teach no other doctrine. Because there are those that teach. There are some that teach that we're teaching other doctrine. And Paul wanted that to be stopped. And because Paul wanted to be stopped, and because the Word of God, and this is written to 1 Timothy, and it is the Word of God, and it's not only just the Word of God to Timothy, it's the Word of God to us. Amen? So I, as a minister, would hate to teach anything other than the doctrine that God wants me to teach. Because I know that there are people that are under our ministry, and we minister all over the world through our website. And we get, and most, a lot of people don't understand this, but, you know, that's okay. I get responses from people from India and from China and Afghanistan and Israel. And, you know, I get messages from people from time to time on the internet that are listening. And a lot of people want to join in listening. And I don't have any problem in their join. I'm glad they're joining. At least I know that God's teaching people, feeding people, helping people. And it absolutely, totally, completely amazes me. And there's not just this ministry, but there's many ministries that are ministering on television and over radio and through the internet, that they're ministering to people all over the world, because people all over the world are interested. They want to know, especially Christian people. And there's some of them over there that ministries that are ministering that I thank God for them. I listen to some of them, and brother, they're ministering, and they're feeding God's people, and they're teaching the right doctrine, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And I won't listen to many of them that don't teach the right doctrine. Are you with me? And if they get into genealogies, I don't want to get into genealogies, because salvation doesn't really have anything to do with genealogy, other than that we're of two natures. And basically we have two genealogies. One is the genealogy that we have being born into this world because we were born after Adam and Eve. And that gives us our fleshly genealogy. That gives me my parents, and that gives you your parents and the people that went before you. But just because some of them saved doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved. But in most Christian places, the Bible promises that you shall be saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved in your house. So those of us who have family members, and especially after they get to be teenagers, if I didn't have a hope that God knew what He was doing and I did everything that I could possibly do to bring up my teenagers, but I couldn't save them, only God could save them. And I had the promise, I had the hope, I had faith to believe that no matter what happened, as long as I had sowed the seed and watered the seed and given an opportunity to grow, let them go, because they're going to go on their own anyway. Are you with me? And I'm not saying they were as bad as I was when they were teenagers, but some of them were close. I'll just put it that way. They were chips off the old block, let me tell you for sure. And I couldn't change them, but I could pray for them, and I could claim God's promise that if I'm saved and my wife is saved, then our children stand a good opportunity to be saved, because God promised us if you're saved, your whole household can be saved. But let me say this. It doesn't matter. See, our genealogy, of course, is we have a genealogy from Adam, and then if we're born again, we have a genealogy from Abraham or through Christ. Amen? And that's the reason Paul spent so much time teaching in Galatians and Colossians and Ephesians and Romans and different places, letting us know that those of us who have been born again by the Spirit of God have been placed into the family of God, and we are the seed of Abraham that God promised. Because God promised through Abraham and his seed that He blessed the whole world. And Isaac was Abraham's seed. Isaac, Sarah, Abraham's wife, Isaac, you with me? Isaac was a child that came by promise. Abraham was past the age. He could not physically bear, and neither was Sarah, could bear a child. And I'm going back to the Old Testament now, but I want you to see this. I think people need to understand this is part of the doctrine that we need to understand. So God said, by this time next year, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a child. Amen? And she did. But it was a child by faith. Amen? It wasn't a child by the works of Abraham or any other Isaac was a child of faith. And God was showing by that that all of us that are born into this world, if we're Jews, and that's one of the problems that Jesus had with the Jewish nation, was whenever Jesus came and started talking to, say, like Nicodemus, he talked to him. He was the leader of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees. And their problem and issue with Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were saying, we don't need to be born to God. We have our Father, and our Father is Abraham. So it was a religious argument as far as they were concerned. They were saved because they were Jews and they were chosen of God, and God has blessed the Jews, and they're still blessed, and they will be blessed forever because God does not repent over his blessings. But that doesn't mean they were saved, because when God sent his Son into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to set up a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. He came to set up a new birth, a new means of entering into a relationship with God. Before that, if a person wanted to, according to the Jewish religion, before, and we're talking about doctrine and genealogies here, so are you still with me? Before a person, so if you wanted to be saved, or be safe, we'll say, according to the Jews, you had to become a Jew. And so there were Jewish proselytes. That means they had come and said, we're not born a Jew, but we want to be a Jew. What do we have to do? Well, if they're males, they had to be circumcised to become a Jew. And then they had to agree to keep the Ten Commandments and the law. And so there was a lot of them that wanted to have that blessing that wasn't outside of the Jews. You weren't really blessed as far as the Jews were concerned. And that's why they kept saying, we have Abraham to our father. We're blessed because Abraham is our father. And Jesus was trying to say, you need to be born again so God can be your father. Are you with me? And so when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he was a leader of the Jews. He had this doctrine that wasn't correct. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen? And so it changed. Jesus came and introduced God as our Heavenly Father, not just a Heavenly Father to the Jews, but to all the human race. He's our Heavenly Father. The Jews were literally shocked. If you read in Acts chapter 10 and 11, you'll read that the Jews, when they were first saved, they didn't go to the Gentiles. They went only to the Jews. Whenever Paul went down and preached to the Gentiles and Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was a Roman, he wasn't a Jew. He was from Rome. He was from Italy. And this is the reason why God worked it out, and you can read this in Acts chapter 10 and 11. This is why God worked it out, to show that he was the God of Jews and Gentiles. Amen. Because when Paul went down, Paul tells the story in Acts chapter 10, I believe it is, 11. The two men from Cornelius' house has come to Peter's house, and he was in, I think, Joppa, on the roof praying. And the Holy Spirit said to him, two men are seeking you. I want you to go with them. Amen. Cornelius had seen a vision from God, because he worshiped God, but he was doing it in ignorance. He didn't really understand who God was. But God told him, you sinned. Listen. You send, Cornelius, you send people to Joppa and find a man by the name of Peter, and he will come to you and preach to you the gospel so that you and your house can be saved. So here was a man that was giving tithes and offerings and worshiping God as best as he could in his own way and through his own religion and whatever, and an angel, and he was a good man. The Bible says he was a centurion. That means he was a captain over probably 100 or more people, soldiers, and he was one of the main ones there in Israel. And he was worshiping God and all of the doing all of the things he was supposed to do. He had his theology right, his doctrine right. Right? The problem was it was not the right doctrine. But God, see, loves anybody. If anybody, the Bible tells me, if any man will seek God with his whole heart, he shall find him. Amen? But you don't seek him through religion, and you don't seek him through religious doctrines and religious do's and don'ts. There is only one way. Listen, and I'm not saying this because it's me saying it. I'm saying God says this, and Jesus said that. There is only one way of salvation that God has provided. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What he was saying there that made the Jewish religious people so mad and so upset that they eventually crucified him and put him to death, or tried to put him to death anyway, they didn't kill him because he dismissed his own life. He gave his life. You understand that? They didn't kill him. The Bible says on the cross, the last words he said, Father, as he was suffering through all of the cross, and he was on the cross, I think, from 12 to about 3 o'clock in the heat of the day. Two thieves on either side of him hanging out there in the sun, basically completely naked, beaten with stripes on his back, blood flowing from him, crown of thorns crammed on his head. People, soldiers had been hitting him and beating him, and then they were condemning him. And he went through, he bore our sins in his body on the cross. Wow. So that's the reason the Jews wanted him to do that, and they believed they killed him. But on the cross, as he looked out and he saw his mother, and John was standing there by her, John, one of his disciples, he said, Behold your mother. And he said to his mother, Behold your son. You go, John. He's going to take care of you, Mom. Even in the death. Even in death. Horrible death. Agonizing death. Terrible pain. He thought about his mom. Not only that, the one thief on the one side was mocking him, and the other thief on the other side said to him, Lord, he said, Lord. He realized, and in fact, he told the other thief, quit talking about this man. We deserve our punch. He doesn't deserve this. He's innocent. But why is he here? He was there because of you and me. And he said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord said, I say unto you this day, right now, in just a few moments, you're going to be with me in paradise. Amen? He didn't have time to get a doctrine. He didn't have time to go to church. He didn't have time to do anything. All he had to do was just call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what he did. And God heard him. And Jesus answered his prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Now that's not false doctrine. That's true doctrine. And it didn't have anything to do with genealogies. Because genealogies have here, as we read in verse 4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies. And genealogies seem to have no end. And he's saying these genealogies cause disputes. Have you ever been, since you became a Christian, been in a religious dispute with somebody over doctrine? or over genealogies. They cause disputes rather than godly edifying. See, godly doctrine, the true doctrine, brings about godly edification, and edification means building up. It means strengthening, encouraging, helping. And godly edification, which is in faith. So we have godly edification. God is building us up through His Word, and we have His Word, and we have Him as our Lord and Savior by our faith. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's verse 6, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot have the God kind of faith, which brings the godly doctrine of edification, without faith. Because also in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You listening? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And He tells us as Christians, because there's so much false doctrine and there's so many things about genealogy and things that are going on that are causing disputes and confusion through this religious world, and doesn't edify and bring about anything, because it's not a faith. It's something that we can do. Are you with me? False doctrine is something that you can always do. That's why it's false. You don't need Christ. Oh, you can believe in God, you can believe in the Son, all of that, but you have to keep the commandments. You have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to belong to our church, and you have to be baptized in our baptismal pool, or whatever it is. And I couldn't go into it, because it gets more complicated. You with me? But godly edification that comes through Christ comes by faith. So it means this. When God reveals to me, or you, whenever we were lost, and we were all born lost, because we were born of Adam. Amen. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15, in Adam all die. The wages of sin is death. And we all sin and come short of the glory of God. But the reason that happens to us is because we were born of Adam. Because in Adam we all die. But in Jesus Christ, we all live. But except we have to be born again. And the fact of the matter is, as I close this, that we need to understand and get this straight, is that our faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and then we believe the Word of God, and then when we believe the Word of God, that means we put our faith, that means we trust Him, that means we depend on Him, and when we depend on Him and we call on Him, that's when He saves us. We can't birth ourselves into the kingdom of God. We can't work ourselves into the kingdom of God. The only way you can get into the kingdom of God and get into Christ and Christ in you is to be born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? And when we call upon the name of God in sincerity, no matter where we are, if we call on Him with all our heart and say, God, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I've come short of Your glory. Would You please forgive me? Would You save me? I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Well, I'm telling you, God will hear that prayer. And at that moment, He, through His Spirit, births you and me and we and us into the kingdom of God. And then God becomes our Father. Amen? And we don't come before Him as a God, and He is God. And I don't mean we don't come without respect. I mean, we don't disrespect. But when we come before Him, the Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So God is saying now, you've been born again. You're my child. Don't be afraid of being a child. But don't stay a child, spiritually speaking. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And understand this, though, but from the time you're born again, Jesus came and introduced God as your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. Amen? And your Father has pleasure. He's pleased when you, as His child, come in before His throne of grace and talk to Him. Amen? And I always think about this, and I've told this story before, but I remember when John F. Kennedy, and this always comes to my mind, when I get to John F. Kennedy, who was the President of the United States, I remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy, President of the United States, anybody remember him? Well, he was in the White House, in his office. And he was having many of the dignitaries were there. He was having a real important conference with I don't know if they were world leaders. I know they were dignitaries, and they were trying to come together to try to make some right decisions. And little John was about 4 years old. And he opened the door and came in. And his dad didn't say, "Son, I'm busy. Get out of here. I don't have time for you right now. You're not supposed to be here. Get out of here." He just held out his arms. Little John came right over, crawled up in his dad's lap and put his arms around his neck. And his dad hugged him. And I want you to know, and God wants you to know, that if we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We come in love, and we come in awesome. We're coming as one of God's children. As far as I'm concerned, He would welcome us. And I realize we've got an awesome God, and I'm not trying to take His name in vain. I just think if you want to come in there and curl up in His arms, put your arms around His neck, He'll be glad. He won't say, "Get out of here. I'm busy. I got more important things to take care of than somebody like you. You in a significant thing." Amen? He'll say, "Welcome. You're my child. Welcome." And God's big enough that He can do that to anybody and everybody that wants to be saved. And so when you pray from now on, just remember this. Don't just take it lightly. When you're praying, you're being ushered by the Holy Spirit into the throne room of God, your Heavenly Father. And don't take that lightly. Remember where you are and who you're talking to. Remember, He does love you, and you're welcome there. And He wants to hear from you. And He tells us, we have not because we ask not. And there's a lot of people that don't feel like they are able to come into the presence of God and talk to God. That's the reason God sent His Son and died for us, so we can come into the presence of God. Man, if God didn't hear my prayers and answer my prayers, I don't know what I'd do. I know one thing, I wouldn't be alive today. And I don't think any of my children would be saved. I know they wouldn't. We got saved because somebody prayed for us, Mary. Amen? Thank God for them. But the main reason we got saved was because God so loved the world. That's everybody in it. And this one person said, if you were the only person in the world, God would have sent His Son to die for you. Amen? Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation, and then we're going to close. And I just want, if anybody, sometimes you never know. When God deals with people in these services and through these teachings, the Holy Spirit touches and moves on people's lives and wants them to come to the altar and pray and get things squared away or whatever they need, or come and get saved or call on the Lord or come to pray for a loved one or whatever they want to do. If God moves on your heart to come to this altar for any reason, you come right now, please. Anybody, anywhere, come on. And we'll just join together with you in prayer. We're going to pray with you for you anyway, and or have somebody to do that for us. And let's go to the Lord in prayer then. And I'm going to ask Brother Johnny Billman to dismiss us, please, sir.